Hey there, welcome to another Truth Talk where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we are going to be talking about studying the Bible. This is part three. We're going to be talking. Hey there, welcome to another Truth Talk where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we are going to be talking about studying the Bible. This is part three. We're going to be talking about digging deeper and studying some of the details. And if you are just listening for the first time, this is part of a Know Your Worth study that I am doing for free. It's a four-week study that is, at the time of this recording, still being edited, going through the processes of getting made pretty. Let's just say that, so that you can have it in your hands by the new year and really just have this, I don't want to say jumpstart, but this new definition of who you think you are according to God's word. So that's really important to me. And I created the study based off of my first book, Know Your Worth. And that book was really important to me. And, you know, women kept coming and asking about, you know, hey, when are you going to create a study? I'd love to have a small group around this. And that's really my vision and my heart for this study is that, you know, women just take this study, they print it up, they bring it to their small group or they have others print it up, and they get back to the core of who they are, of just knowing that what you feel isn't the truth and getting back to, you know, not the world's opinions of who they think you are, but really just truly knowing your worth in God. That's it. So make sure you head to the show notes below, get your Know Your Worth study. And if you want to pick up my book, Know Your Worth, you can read that together alongside the study, or you can do it completely separately. I did not make them to go together. I made them to where they could go together, or if you just wanted to read them separately, totally up to you. You can do your whole study by yourself. You can do it in a group. Whatever it is that you feel called to do, just know I'm rooting for you. And you can always find me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle as well. You can share it, tag me, just let me know how it is encouraging your heart. So let's go ahead and get into today's topic, which is just digging a little bit deeper and studying the details. And for me, I began to prepare for this and I said, you know, what is it that I really need to learn? And I kept hearing this word like exegesis and eisegesis, and what do those words mean, and how does that help me study the Bible? And when I began to understand that studying the details is really helps make the bigger picture come to life. You know, when you know the little details about the story, who it was written for and why it was written, it can really begin to change your perspective, because we're also putting ourselves in the time of the writer and not now. And then we have to be able to evaluate, how is this affecting us today and what does this look like? And so the Google definition of exegesis is an explanation or interpretation of texts, especially of scripture. Therefore, when we think about studying in exegesis, it's letting the text itself reveal to us, the reader, what the author was writing. And the biggest piece that I can take away, or tell you, I should say, about studying the Bible with exegesis and through exegesis is that you're leaving your opinion and feelings off the table. That means by doing this, we don't read anything into scripture that wasn't there before. We are studying the meaning of the passage, that it was intended for a specific audience. And the purpose is so that we don't bring any, you know, preconceived notions about the text. Like I said earlier, we don't lead with our feelings, right? We don't want to read the Bible through our feelings of what we think to be right, because we'll get it wrong every time and we'll miss the Father's heart when we do that. It means that you are not looking at scripture through the lens of your beliefs. And I think we need to say amen there to understand that we are not looking at scripture through the lens of our own beliefs. We want to be sure that we are relying on what the text is saying, who it's speaking to, who it was written for, and when it was written. When we use the style of exegesis, you allow the scripture, the Holy Spirit, to define that meaning for you. And that's really been huge for me, of kind of trying to go into reading the Bible with a blank slate, not coming in with any preconceived notions or my feelings or my own thoughts around this particular topic. So our goal is really to come open-handed with scripture, right? Of just, Father, what do you have for me? And asking the Holy Spirit to guide you through all of these things. So despite what our emotions and our feelings are telling us or what's on our heart, we want to make sure that we're studying scripture without a bias, because that leads us to see God's true nature without our feelings leading the way. When you begin studying the details, I want you to think, okay, before you begin a book, a chapter, or a passage of scripture, I want you to think in and check in with these five questions I'm going to ask you. They will also help you get a better understanding of the audience. It will help you have a clearer picture of really what you're reading of scripture during this time, and most importantly, the purpose of why it was written. Here's the five questions that you can ask yourself. Who wrote it? When was it written? Whom was it written for? What style was it written? And why was it written? Again, if you download the study yourself, you'll be able to have all of these notes. So if you don't want to take any notes, that is totally fine. You can just listen and then go back and learn more about the studying. So again, make sure you get the study. It's in the show notes. The link is in the show notes below. But asking ourselves these questions will really open our eyes to new things that maybe we didn't see before. When we think about who wrote it, we can get a context of maybe where did that writer come from? What was his story to becoming an author of this book? We really open up our eyes to what was his story? What was his journey? And then when we think about, okay, when was this written? Who was it written for? Because when I can think about who was it written for, I can think about that audience. Then I can think about that audience and go, well, what did that audience in this time think about the topic that the author is writing, right? And then when we think about why it was written, we think about the overarching theme, purpose of the story. Why was this written? How is this changing me, right? And I hope that helps you give a better idea of why these questions are important as we begin to read even a passage of scripture or a whole book or a story in particular. That is why it's so important when we, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I talked about evaluation questions, to be able to ask yourself, you know, how do I study the Bible? And for somebody that used to be a cherry picker, which was me, hand raised, fully guilty, I would often pick scripture out and I never had context. I never knew, right? Because I didn't know. So you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know how to study the Bible. I didn't know, you know, the right way or the wrong way or how to do this. And now I can understand how cherry picking can be very hard to understand scripture, right? And if you're just picking scriptures out of different places, you're probably going to feel overwhelmed. And I learned that. I was like, wow, no wonder I feel overwhelmed or confused, because I wasn't actually getting the whole context of the scripture or what that writer was trying to address. Because sometimes a writer or the author, you know, will address the same topic in three or four chapters. And I think it's important that we begin at the beginning and say, okay, what is the main theme of this particular chapter or this particular book? Again, it really helps us get a better understanding of what we're reading, how we're growing, and of course, the meta-narrative to see God throughout the entire story. As we're kind of wrapping up this series on studying the Bible, I want us to know that, you know, when we're thinking about the Bible and reading and when it feels overwhelming, I know you're probably thinking, okay, I'm feeling lost and I'm confused. And I just want to remind you and encourage you, one, to keep digging deeper. But know that that means that there's room for growth, right? It means that we don't know something, therefore we get to learn something. I can't tell you how many times I felt overwhelmed and not qualified to study the Bible at all. And the word theologian still kind of freaks me out a little bit. Like, because I would never, ever want to consider myself a theologian. But really, when we think about who we are as believers, we are believers studying the Bible to know about God. So in a sense, we're all little theologians walking around, you know, preaching the gospel and making disciples. And that's just a beautiful picture. It felt too big to me and like there would never be enough time to get through it all. Like, how was I going to be able to learn all of this? And so I think far too often we just crave that experience with God more than we do spend, than we spend learning about God. And that is something I'm just praying over you, is I know that we want to experience God. We want to have that feeling, right? We want to be able to feel the presence of God. But there are so many days that we don't feel the presence of God necessarily, but we know God is true. We know God is good, and we know He is there, whether we feel Him or not. And experiences are good, but you know, learning about God first helps us see those experiences differently. Knowledge of who God is and His word builds the confidence for us to be able to share our faith. To go back to feeling the presence of God, I think that most of us can say that, you know, experiences can affirm who He is. When we have a experience of God, or when we feel God, we can go, yes, exactly. He is being right now who He says He is. But I want you to remember that knowledge reveals who He is. That means when we know God's word, we will see Him everywhere. We won't just see Him when we feel Him, and we won't just experience Him in, you know, particular moments that come and go. Knowing more about Him leads us to see more of Him in our daily lives. And of course, the mundane, there are so many mundane things that we do every single day. And it's really easy for us to go, you know what? This doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that I'm cleaning up cat litter or, you know, taking the trash out. Nobody cares. But man, God does. He cares about it all. He cares about your motives. He cares about your heart. He cares about what you're doing. He wants to talk to you. See, if we don't know what we're looking for, how will we ever see it? If we don't know who God is, how will we ever, you know, be able to see Him in a crowd, so to speak? How will we be able to hear His voice among all the other voices that are screaming for our attention? Let's be sure that we're not chasing our feelings for experiences more than we lean into learning about the Father, because learning about the Father can come into play when we think about comprehension, interpretation, and application. I'm going to break down comprehension, interpretation, and application really quickly. So comprehension means, what is it saying? Interpretation is saying, what does it mean? And application is, how should it change me? Here's a couple more questions. What does this passage teach me about God? How does this aspect of God's character change my view of self? What should I do in response? And that is all a part of the application. So again, it's comprehension. What did it say? Interpretation. What does it mean? And application. How should it change me? Just remember that repetition builds comprehension. The more you begin to study, read scripture over and over and over again, we will get a fresh revelation, right? The more we read it, the more we begin to understand it, the more we pray for wisdom and understanding, the more that we get those fresh revelations. I wouldn't be expectant when I show up to read, and that's something I'm still learning. Like, hand raised again, I am still learning to have that expectant heart of when I sit down to read, I am just ready for Him to show up because I know He's there. Even in those seasons that feel like drought, right? Can we, again, let's raise our hands. We're raising our hands a lot today, but have you ever had those seasons? Oh, you just feel like it's drought. Maybe you're in the wilderness of the word, but guess what? You're still building comprehension. You just have to keep showing up no matter what you feel like or what that day feels like. The last thing I want to say as we close out this series on studying the Bible is give yourself grace to learn new things and to find a rhythm in which you do them. Let me also say this, because I know if you're anything like me, that you'll instantly begin to form a set of rules, right? Okay, Jessica's giving me all these different ideas. Now I need to implement them. And how am I going to do that, right? We begin to think now there's these rules and we think we have to follow. Friend, this is just some ideas. These are different ways, techniques, things to think about for us just to get a better understanding of our Father, a Father who loves us, a Father who cares, a Father who invites us in, who asks us to sit down and dine with Him. This is not a set of rules to follow. This is just a relationship that He wants to have with you, to go deeper with you, and more importantly, that we walk out our God-given identity and authority here on this earth. Throw off the bondage of the law and pick up the grace that the cross provided for you. Listen, trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. He will not leave you. He's not going to, you know, take you some down some path that leads you to destruction or condemnation or shame, trust the Holy Spirit inside of you and believe that the same power is in you that raised Jesus from the grave. And I think we can all say amen to that. I hope you have had as much fun as I have in regards to this series of studying the Bible. It's brought me a lot of joy to be able to write this inside of the study. Make sure you head to jessicahuddle.com/knowyourworthstudy to pick up your study. Let me know how this encouraged you. If you have questions, you can hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Huddle, or you can just leave a rating and review and let me know how this podcast is blessing you or what questions that you have as well. So until next week, I'll talk to you soon. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahuddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.